Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and as Barry mentioned, it's 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and also the day that the church was born. And so if we were to think about it, how is the church doing? Well, this is now centuries later. How is the church doing? How is the church? What is the what's the thermometer on the temperature of the church? How are we doing after all these years? Well, I want to read this morning a passage as we open this morning, a passage from 1 Thessalonians, and it's verses chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And this is kind of a report card that Paul gave to the church, and we can read it as kind of a report card. And it's kind of a report card that we can compare ourselves to. So if we're going to say, how is the church doing? We want to have something to compare it to. And so how is the church doing today? Because in this comparison, it reveals a lot to us about how we are to be. So this is a report card. This is a report card that comes from Paul and Silvanus and Timothy as they greet the church in Thessalonica, and a city that was a major city of trade and commerce. Lots of struggles within it, but also a good foothold for that early church. And so let's take a look and see what they said, how this report card goes. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 through 7. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, that's the senders, to the church in Thessalonica, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God our Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfast of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with joy, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. When we look at that passage, it seems like just a nice greeting. But here is a church that is receiving praise for the three things. We see those words, faith, hope, and love. Well, this is where we get them from. The church is receiving praise for its works of faith, its steadfast hope, and its labor of love. Those three things, faith, hope, and love, that come as a result of the gospel being received, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of the believers in the church. And the result was that they became an example as a church. So this is really the report card. This is the report card of the church. If there was ever a litmus test for the health of a church, this is it. This is it. The Thessalonican church received an A+. The church was walking in the Spirit. The church was fulfilling the mandate that Christ gave. They were showing their works of faith in Jesus. They had a steadfast hope in him, and they had a labor of love. And it's an excellent example of for the church today to pay attention to, because here was a church where people were using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God was pouring out his blessing on them and spreading the word of the gospel through the people that had come to faith. So using gifts then, using those spiritual gifts that allow this report card to be so pleasing, using gifts then is something that we want to take a little bit more of a look at as a church. As the church used their gifts, they were praised for how they administered among each other and among the world around them. And that really is a litmus test or a testing of how we as a church are able to assess our place. Are we doing what God has called us to do? And so we're going to look this morning at the spiritual gifts that God gives that allow the body to be built up and to be given a good report. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that comes and dwells here. And Father, we prayed this morning, we sang this morning, may your Spirit rest here. May you come into this place and fill us, Lord. And that is really our desire, is that we would be not just a gathering of individuals, but we'd be a gathering of believers that come together because of our love for you. And Lord, that your Spirit would pour out into our lives and you would ignite the flames of the spiritual gifts that you have given to each one, that we would use them, that we wouldn't hide them or disregard them, but Lord, that we would use them and that your church would receive this kind of a rating, this kind of a praise from you for the being the hands and the feet of you here in this world. So Father, this morning as we look at spiritual gifting, as we look at the gifts you give to the church so that we are able to be pleasing before you, Father, speak to our hearts and to our minds and reveal within us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, where you want us to serve and how you want us to serve, that we would be found faithful, we pray. Amen. Well, that reporting, as I mentioned, is an indication of how the church was doing. And Paul was giving a good report. And that good report comes from the church functioning as a church. And last week we talked about spiritual gifts and that God gives a spiritual gift to every believer. If you're a believer in Christ, trusted him as your Savior, he has given you a spiritual gifting. And the local church, the purpose of that is that gifting would be used to edify or to build up the body of local believers. And even from there outward, going and extending, having an impact in our community. So this morning we want to look at five key passages. And I have them, they're going to give us a list of the spiritual giftings that God reveals to us. So these are just five passages. If you have the study guide, the study note in there, I listed all the gifts out in there. And that's not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, but what it is, it's an idea of the types of spiritual gifts that are mentioned and the scriptures that go along with the spiritual gifting that God gives. So it's kind of the gathering of all these gifts into one place. And as we go through them, I'm going to read the passage and then we're going to cipher out what the spiritual gifts are. I want to take the time this morning to go through them and actually say what some of the spiritual gifts are. And I want to do this for a reason. I want you to be thinking as we read through these passages and I pull out the spiritual gifts and talk about them momentarily, I want you to be aware of the gifts that are revealed. And I want you to be aware of ones that resonate with you. And you might be sitting beside someone this morning and they go, hey, that's you. And I want you to write their name down in there. All right? I want you to write their name down. And they might do that for you as well. Or you might go, okay, on this list, I'm just going to put a check mark beside the ones that, you know, I think God sort of speaks to me in, or these are, I don't know why, but these are of more interest to me, and I feel that personally God is maybe directing me in the areas of these gifts, or maybe I have these gifts, and maybe you're going to help identify your neighbor's gifts. But that's what I want you to be thinking about as we go through this list of spiritual gifts. Whatever sparks interest or something you identify as what you would like to do or something that comes naturally that you identify in yourself or someone else. But I want you to pay attention to those giftings because one of the first things that's important in the life of the believer is identifying the spiritual gifting. Identifying the kind of gifting that God has given us. And this is part of a process of discovering how God has really gifted us. And when we look at the spiritual gifting, it reveals, actually you're going to find it actually begins to reveal a little bit more about how God has called you and how God needs you in the local church. So on your study sheet as we go through the list, write your name or someone else's that identifies the gifts. And even after service, if you've written somebody's name and they're not sitting beside you, then go over to them and say, hey, you know what, in there, I think this is you. I don't know if you think this is you, but I think this is you, and tell them where you put their name. So let's see what some of these spiritual gifts are. And I apologize because we are going to have to kind of move quickly through some of them. So that's why I gave you the list. You can look these up through the scriptures as well on your own afterwards. So our first passage is in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. And Romans 12, 6 through 8. And we read there, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them if prophecy, this is Paul speaking, if prophecy in our portion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads in his zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So we have those listed. Those are our gifts of the Spirit. So what are the gifts that are identified in there? Well, here's the first one, prophecy. The gift of prophecy primarily is a gift of proclamation. It's a foretelling, not to be confused with predictions or foretelling, right? Not foretelling. That's what psychics claim to do. They're going to foretell your future. A prophecy, word prophecy, is not that, because we know that that those that engage in that are contrary to God. But rather, the gift of prophecy is someone who tells or proclaims the word of God. And someone who might have that, not necessarily limited to, but a teacher, a pastor, someone who declares the gospel message, maybe that is individually as well, but they proclaim the gospel message or they proclaim the truth of God, prophecy. The next we find service. And these are workers. People that have the gift of service are the workers. They're not the complainers. They're not the guys standing at the side wondering if they can get out of work. They're the ones that say, sign me up. They're the ones that say, yes. It's an area to serve. Let me serve. I would be just as happy making sandwiches downstairs as I would be being an usher, as I would be being moderator of the church. Whatever, wherever that gifting or the need is, let me serve there. So there's a gift, a spiritual gift of service. And those are the worker bees within the church. There's a gift of teaching. And the gift of teaching is someone who understands how to learn and helps you to learn. Have you ever had a good teacher? Yeah? Have you ever had a bad one? Well, there's a difference, right? There's a good teacher and there's a bad teacher, and the good teacher helps you understand how to learn. They actually teach you, they educate you, they take you along that process of learning. That's what teaching is. Teaching isn't just disseminating information, spilling it out and hoping you catch something. You come around with your little plate and hopefully you catch something from what they're saying. But a teacher has a gift of sharing knowledge and helping you learn that knowledge. That's the gifting of a teacher. So they're not just someone with knowledge, but someone who helps you to learn that knowledge and embrace it. There's also a gift of encouraging mentioned here. And this person knows just how and when to build you up. They say just enough to make your day better, and they say just enough to make your faith just that much stronger. The gift of encouraging, or a gift of encouragement, is a vital gift in our church. There's so many things that tear us down, but there are those individuals that always seem to have a smile on their face, even though it's a rough day. They have a gift of encouragement just simply in the words that they share. Then there's the gift of giving. And here, meaning financial help. These people see the needs and meet them, financial needs, and meet them without having to be asked or prompted. They don't have to be wealthy to have this gift. In fact, many are modest income, or as the woman who gave the mite in the temple, as Jesus mentioned, they gave out of their poverty rather than out of their wealth. So it's not, the gift of giving isn't given necessarily to someone who is wealthy, but it is a spirit that says, I see the need and I'm going to do my best to meet that need. A giver, someone who has the gift of giving, does so sacrificially. So it's not out of their excess necessarily, but it often costs them something. So they give sacrificially. And here's the other one, cheerfully. They have a smile on their face when they're giving that check, or they have a smile on their face where they're palming you that 20 bucks. That's what my mother-in-law used to do all the time, knowing that we were broke. We were broke students or a young family, and she would just palm you 20 bucks. And it was a blessing, and it was her way of giving a blessing. She always had a smile. She was a cheerful and sacrificial giver. So that's the gift of giving. Leadership. These folks seem to have people follow them just because. They don't demand loyalty. They don't force commitment, but rather they have a way of inspiring others to come alongside them and follow along. They often lead almost by default. And good leaders are simply identified. You're in a room and somebody says, "Who's going to be in charge of this?" And everybody turns their head to that one person and then they're going, "What? Do I got to, you know, why me? Why do I have to do this?" And it's almost by default because they have that gift or abilities of leadership. God gives them a vision for what can be, and they know how to move people forward towards that goal and move towards that goal. And their heart is to see God glorified. And that's really the sign of a true leader in the church. It's to see God glorified rather than kind of a reputation built or an empire of influence built. It is whatever will glorify God, the leader will step in and work to bring glory to God. We also find compassion or mercy here as a spiritual gift. And these people wear their hearts on their sleeves. They see needs within the church, and they love to care for people. People are us. If they could have a slogan, it would be "People are us." And they would kind of gather together, and they have the gift of compassion, the gift of mercy, their hearts on their sleeves. Sometimes they're tearful oftentimes as they're praying for people, but they see needs and they love to care for people. They watch for the ones that are slipping through the cracks, the ones that are standing off to the side and no one seems to be talking. They're the ones that'll wiggle their way over there. They have a gift of compassion. They're always ready to offer and be a help. So those are some of the gifts that we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Well, now flip over to 1 Corinthians. And I know I'm going to have it up on the screen behind me, but if you do have a Bible, take a little pen and circle some of those gifts of the Spirit. It is just a good way to have yourself remember some of these things thereafter as well. But 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, we read here, To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, this is a little bit of a loaded passage because we're going to look at gifts that are called sign gifts, and there's all kinds of discussion on are they valid for today, are they not valid for today, but we're going to go through them and look at them and identify them without making any assessment on whether they are applied today or not. So here's what we find. We find the gift of wisdom, also called the gift of discernment. And this is the ability to distinguish between truth and error. When you have wisdom, you have the ability to distinguish between truth and error, between good and evil, between right and wrong. And people with this gift see through the phoniness. They discern motives. They would be the people that go, "I don't trust that. There's something just not right. Not sure what it is yet. Something's just a little sideways. There's their spiritual spidey senses are on, and they're going, you know what? There's something up here." They see phoniness. They discern motives. They identify deception in others, and often with accuracy and appropriateness. Now, that gift of discernment or gift of wisdom in that sense, oftentimes the downside of that gifting is that you say things. And sometimes there's a filter that sort of is missing, and you sometimes say things of what you're thinking, and then people tend to get down on you that, hey, why did you say that? But that is it's a spiritual gifting of discerning, discerning and the ability to distinguish right and wrong. So being able to say what is right and wrong, not according to your own thought, but according to a gift of wisdom that has a biblical background. We also have a word of knowledge, and that's the ability to bring a biblical truth to bear in a life situation. So a word of knowledge might simply be a scripture verse that applies to an individual's life, a biblical truth that is shared. So a word of knowledge at the right time is often enough to change a course direction for someone or to have them understand a little bit deeper a decision maybe that's before them. And a person with a word of knowledge has that ability to bring that biblical truth to bear in that person's life. And then we see the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is exactly that. It's an individual who shows an extraordinary confidence in the promises of God. And George Mueller, this is back in 18th century England, he ran an orphanage for children and was solely dependent on prayers of faith for his existence as that orphanage. And this was a fairly large orphanage that he operated. And he would be on his knees. People would say this about him all the time. He was on his knees praying. There was more needs. There was more needs as children came. There was more children. They had more needs. And some of the biggest needs, well, we ought to feed these kids. We have to have clothing for these kids. We have to build a new facility for these kids. We have to find homes for these kids, people to adopt and take these orphans in. And so George Mueller was a man who was known for being on his knees. Here's the other interesting thing about George Mueller. He didn't do this. He didn't have an email that says, hey, FYI, I'm doing a cloud funding for the next project that's coming up, and can you support it? So he didn't do that. But what he did was he did the old school because they didn't have internet, so he just prayed. He just got on his knees, and he prayed to God, and he said, God, you know our needs, and I pray that you would meet them. And unbelievably, and this is the testimony, if you ever read about George Mueller, unbelievably, sometimes the very last moment where it seemed absolutely impossible, God opened a door and someone said, I don't know why, but I'm here with a load of potatoes. We were on the way to market and this load of potatoes is, I just got a sense God wanted me to drop it here. You know what? We're slaughtering animals and could you use some meat here in the orphanage? You know what? There's a building and I just had a sense God was leading me to offer you this building to use. Is it something that you could make use of? And over and over and over, that testimony was given with George Mueller. There was a man who lived by faith. That was an extraordinary confidence in the promises of God. And that is really a gift because many of us are kind of the worry warts. We want all the ducks in a row before anything happens. The gift of faith says, you know what, I'm trusting God. And that is really a spiritual gift. We also see here gifts of healing and miraculous powers. And these are two of the four sign gifts that are mentioned, which the sign gift means that they were used as proofs of God's power and authority in biblical times. So Jesus would perform a miracle. That is a sign that says that he has the authority that he claims, and God would allow that. And although God can and still does at any time miraculously heal people through an individual, this gifting is not intended to be used as a show. It's a proof at a specific time to show or to bring glory to God, but is typically something that happens situationally and is intended to build the faith of the recipient. So when we look at healing or miraculous powers, they're not meant for the showmanship, like, hey, come and see what I can do, but rather it is a faith-building experience for that individual. that God would gift at that particular moment to be able to minister a gift of healing or miraculous powers through an individual. And we also find there tongues and interpretation of tongues, the third and fourth sign gifts that are intended to give glory to God through the supernatural ability to speak and understand a biblical truth in another language. And the gift of tongues there on the day of Pentecost, as they went out from that place and began to speak in other languages, and others proclaiming the things of God, and others who had a different language able to hear and understand those biblical truths. So it's to be able to speak and understand the biblical truth in another language. So those are four of the sign gifts that are identified. Well, next we go off to 1 Corinthians 12, back there, verse 28. And God has appointed, we read, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Now we find two new gifts that are mentioned here. The others have been mentioned already. We find the gift of helps mentioned here. And this is similar to service, but it's a special ability to serve alongside or to come alongside people and help out. It's a special gifting that God gives. So the gift of helps is like that person of service who simply says, "Here I am. Where do you need the help? Where can I fit in? What can I do?" And so they have the gift of helps. Gift of helps might be the guy who cleans the gutters on the church and just says, "You know what? I don't mind. I can come do that." And it's that gift of helps. It might be in a person's life that says, "Hey, you've got something going on. Hey, can I come alongside and help you with that specific task?" Doesn't mean they're there all the time, but it's task orientated. So we have the gift of helps mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And then we see the gift of administration. And the gift of administration is the ability to see and to organize and to execute a task, the things that are necessary for a task to happen. And this is definitely a spiritual gift because not everyone has this gifting. Barry and I have been working on the gift of administration for quite a long time. And I don't know. I won't say hopeless, Barry, because I think we're getting better. But the gift of administration definitely falls to our administrative assistant who's really in charge of everything in the church. And so administration, there are those among us that just see a natural flow. Oh, no, let's set it up like this. And lo and behold, those things work. It's a gift of administration, a gift of organizing. And that is needed inside the body of the church. It's also necessary in any function that happens, any outreach, any of those things. We need a system, and those are the people that God has gifted with understanding systems. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body may be built up. And these are often referred to as the ministry gifts. And here we find apostleship. That means those who are sent. These are the folks who are called to plant churches or to reach out in missions. These are the ones that say, "Here am I, I'll go. I've got a career, I've got a job, I've got a life, but I sense God leading me." And we send them off to serve, whether it be in missions or church planting and the such. We already looked at prophets, but we see the gift of evangelism, and that's the ability to communicate the gospel to unbelievers in a way that they respond to the message. So Billy Graham, you always said, "I'm a terrible pastor, but I'm a better evangelist." And as an evangelist, he was able to share his faith and have a passion for building relationships with unbelievers and moving them towards a conversation about faith and moving them into a conversation where they would be open to receiving Christ. And so an evangelist has that ability to communicate the gospel to the believers in a way that they respond to the message. So it's like they're saying the right things, and people go, "That's what I was wondering about. That's what was holding me back." and then they're able to make a decision for Christ. We also find pastor or shepherd here, which is the enablement to nurture or care and guide God's people towards ongoing spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. And pastor, shepherd, you think about the sheep and the shepherd that Jesus always talks about, and he comes along and guides us, takes us to the spot where there's good food to eat. He's the one who watches over us and cares for us throughout the darker times of life. Pastor shepherd is also given that role, shepherding congregations as God would see fit. The last gift that I'm going to mention this morning is 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10, and I want to mention this one because this one a lot of people have, and they don't necessarily recognize it, but 1 Peter, we identify this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So hospitality here is shown as a spiritual gift also. And this is the ability to make others, especially strangers in our midst, feel warm and welcome and received and accepted in our midst. It is a real gift. Oftentimes, those people that have the gift of hospitality also have the gift of feeding you. So when you receive an invitation, you are often fed, not just spiritually, but you're fed physically as well, and a way to make us feel welcome. So now we know what these gifts are, but what are we going to do with them? How do we find out what our spiritual gifts are? How do we identify what our spiritual gifts are? How do we find out? So we went through the list, and maybe you put a few ticks in a few spots and said, this might be me or this might be someone else, but I want to go through just a couple little things as we begin to wrap up today. A couple little things that help us understand or find what our spiritual gifts are. Well, first of all, in order to have a spiritual gift, you must be saved. You must have already received the Holy Spirit. You come to a place in your life that says, Lord, I need you to come into my life, and you receive salvation. You are washed and you are cleansed. So you need to be saved in order to have a spiritual gift that God is able to use. Secondly, we want to be able to discover our spiritual gift by finding out what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. So if we're going to find out about spiritual gifts, we actually need to know what the Bible says. So we read through the spiritual gifts just like we did today. We learn what God says about them. And we might do a word study on one of them that particularly sparks our interest. And each gift is, there's a motivation to find out more about it. So we are saved, and we also want to discover what the Bible says about gifts. And then we also, thirdly, we want to listen for what speaks to you. As we discover our spiritual gifts by finding them out and reading through them, we want to pay attention to what resonates with us. When one of those gifts resonates with us, we kind of go, that one's coming out, or somebody is identifying that in my life, and we begin to think about it. That's part of that listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I'm a fan of Bruce Bugbee's book and program called Network. I don't know if you've heard of that. I put a website reference on the bottom of your study sheet for you that has it. And he has a fantastic program called Network, and I'd like to walk us through that sometime in a Sunday school class or in a small group. But it's an excellent resource that helps us assess and find out how God has gifted us as believers. And it also helps us find out where we're best suited to serve him. So we want to listen to what for what God is speaking to us or revealing. We also want to pray. Most importantly, in this process of discovery, is prayer. And God has a blessing for each one of us. And prayer regarding our spiritual gifts allows God to open our eyes. And when we just come before God and say, Lord, you know, how am I to be used? And we just open our heart and we say, God, where do you need me? We've been looking or studying spiritual gifting. God opens our eyes as we come to him in prayer. Now, this last one, is passion. And I want to say passion is kind of how we tie the spiritual gifting that God has given to our service. And ask yourself this question: what are you passionate about? In the gift assessment from Bruce Bugaby, he asks questions that help you recognize what you're passionate about. And he asks a question like this: if no strings were attached in your life right now, what would you be doing for God? There was no strings attached. You're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too broke, you're not too rich, you don't have job commitments that are holding you back. What would you be doing in the kingdom for Jesus right now? Where is your heart leading you? And asking a question like that helps us identify what we're passionate about. Are we passionate about people? Are we passionate about helping? Are we passionate about administrative stuff or retooling people or equipping people in a different way? What is it that we are passionate about if there were no strings attached? That's a vital question for you to ponder. And then when we blend that passion with the gifting that God has given, we have a recipe for fulfillment in life. And you know, a lot of people go through life saying, you know what, I'm looking for fulfillment. I just don't know how to find it. And they haven't quite got the mix of where their spiritual gifting that God has given and the passion that God has given them as well. And they need to be able to bring those things together. And when they do, it's amazing. People just light on fire because they realize where God is calling them. So why is it important to understand our spiritual gifts in life? Because when we discover how God has wired us and how God has gifted us, then we can find fulfillment in our service to Him. So many Christians claim to go through lives and not really understanding that God has given them special gifts and abilities to be a blessing within His church. That's why we want to get to the essence of spiritual giftings and taking a look at what the Holy Spirit is able to do in us as He gifts us to serve within the body. Well, my encouragement to you today as we wrap up is to look through those scriptures. Maybe you've ticked some of those little spots. And I would encourage you also to go online and take that spiritual gifts assessment. It is a very good initial tool to be able to look at our gifts. It's very informative. And maybe as we do those things, we come to a better understanding of how God has wired us and called us to serve. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the spiritual gifts. Thank you that you call us to service, each one that you have gifted us. If we have received your Holy Spirit, we have received a spiritual gift that is given from you. And this morning, Lord, as we have read through your scriptures, as we have just looked at the different titling and different ways that you equip us and you gift us, Father, I pray for your Spirit just to rest on each one, that each one today would be able to say, yes, I think this is me, and that they would talk to a friend and say, what do you think? Is this an area of giftedness? Do you see this in my life? And Lord, may we bring our gifting and our passions together and find true fulfillment as we serve you as your people. We pray these things in your name, Jesus.